Last week, we started in our summer series in Proverbs, and we looked at the first verses of Proverbs last week, and now we're going to look at the last verses of the introduction to Proverbs. Proverbs has an introduction which is 9 chapters. That's the introductory part. I would encourage you to read chapters 1 to 9, and we're encouraging the whole church to read the whole book of Proverbs this summer. So we're looking at today Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 6, and then verses 13 to 18. So Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 to 6, and then Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13 to 18. Hear the word of the Lord. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. And then verse 13. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Let's pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the reputed effects of heavy social media use is the increase in the experience of what's called FOMO. Now, all the young people know what FOMO is. It stands for fear of missing out. And if you spend a lot of time on social media, you find that everyone else in the world, everyone else, all of your friends are having a better time than you are, doing what you're doing. And so it's easy to feel like you're missing out. And so if you have that FOMO, a very stressful scenario is if you receive 2 invitations for the same time. Then you're really in a pickle. You really have a problem, because how can you decide which is going to be the funnest of the two, or the funner of the two? How can you decide which one to go to and avoid making that terrible mistake of going to the wrong one? That's a terrible sort of scenario for somebody who struggles with FOMO. The haunting question is, how can I make sure to accept the right invitation when both of them sound so interesting? Well, actually, that's exactly the scenario we have painted for us in chapter 9 of Proverbs. And in a sense, that's the scenario we have painted for us in all of the book of Proverbs. There are 2 invitations, and they're happening at the same time. And you need to decide which invitation to accept. And so, what we have here in this chapter 9 of Proverbs, which is the culmination of the introduction to Proverbs, what we have here is this double invitation that goes out. And it goes out from 2 different women. So you find in Proverbs that women are the absolute best, and then they're absolute worst. They're used for both extremes here. And we find one woman and another woman who's exact opposite. The first woman we meet, actually, if you read chapters 1 to 9, you've already met her. But her name is Wisdom. We'll call her Lady Wisdom. In verse 1, Lady Wisdom, she's personified here. Wisdom is presented as an elegant lady. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her 7 pillars. And what we find here is that she is extending an invitation. Now, as I said, if you've read Proverbs 1 to 9 already, you've already heard her call out. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she calls out. At the entrance to the city, she cries out. And if you look at chapter 8 as well of Proverbs, we find at the beginning of chapter 8, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights beside the way? At the crossroads, she takes her stand beside the gate in front of the town. At the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. So wisdom is all over the place, and she's crying out, she's crying out, she's crying out. And here we find her final invitation that she extends in this introduction. Now, we also have heard the voice of the Father. And the voice of the Father is important because the context of Proverbs is a father speaking to his adolescent son. And that's why we have the wisdom and folly painted as a woman, because it's a dad speaking to his teenage son. This is a book for teenagers, particularly. It's designed for teenagers, and it's a dad saying to his son, "Son, listen to me." And so as we listen to the Father, we also hear Lady Wisdom speaking through the Father. And her target audience, as I said, are teenagers, are adolescents, and they're called the simple, the simple. Now, simple here doesn't mean the uncomplicated. It doesn't also mean the unintelligent. It means the inexperienced. It means the ones who are naive. It means the ones that just haven't had much experience in life, but they are on the cusp of making decisions that will determine which direction their lives will go. And that's where adolescents are. That's where young people are. Now, what has she done here? If we go to chapter 9, we'll look at her invitation. She has a big house, 7 pillars, and she prepares a fine feast. Verse 2, she has slaughtered her beasts, she has mixed her wine, she has set her table, and she's very tasteful in everything she does. She has young women who go out to call from the highest places of the city, verse 3. And this is their invitation, verse 4. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, actually, literally that's in Hebrew, it's to him who lacks heart. Next week we're going to talk about the heart, because Proverbs talks a great deal about the heart. But it says, to him who lacks heart, she says, come eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed, leave your simple ways, or it could be your simple friends, your inexperienced, uninformed friends, and live, walk in the way of insight. So what's she doing? She's extending an invitation to dine. She's inviting to dinner the young men. And what is the purpose of that? That's an image, that's a metaphor. But if you look at verse 6, you see what the metaphor is all about. Leave your simple ways and live. She's inviting to not just to dine, but to live. Walk in the way of insight. And the result will be life. She wants to give you life. If you walk in her ways, you will experience life. Now, I want you to notice something very important here in verse 3. We saw her in chapters 1 to 8. She's all over the city. And she's crying out all through the city, giving her invitation. But where is she in chapter 9? It says she is on the highest places in the city. And if you go to the ancient Near East, and you find there that on the highest place of the city, you find the temple or the temples. This is where the gods lived, on the highest place of the city. And so when we find her on the highest place of the city, this is a clue to where her invitation is really coming from. It's the invitation of God. So the voice of Lady Wisdom is the voice of God. It's God calling out. And you might recognize from Isaiah chapter 55 this kind of an invitation that comes from God in chapter 55 of Isaiah. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. And so here Lady Wisdom is speaking for God and inviting us to attend to his words. Who? Those who are full? No, those who lack. Those who are hungry. Those who have no money. And in this case, in Proverbs, those who don't have much experience. Those who don't have wisdom yet in life. The invitation is to come and freely to enjoy and freely to eat and to drink. In other words, freely to enter into the way of wisdom. Now, this metaphor of a woman calling young men to dine with her, this is a bit provocative here, and that's it's meant to be. It's meant to be a bit provocative here, but you'll notice that she's very tasteful in what she does. But the idea is she's not just inviting you to a quick meal. She's inviting you into her life. She's inviting you to embrace her. She's inviting you to an intimate relationship with her. And dropping the metaphor, this is God's invitation to you, to have an intimate relationship with him, to embrace him, to have a lifelong committed relationship with him. That's the first invitation. And then there's that interlude that we're not going to look at today. And then we go to the second invitation in verse 13. And here we meet another woman, and her name is Folly. So here Folly, the opposite of wisdom, is personified. And what's Folly like? Well, it says she's loud. She's boisterous. And our translation says she is seductive, but if you go down to a footnote in our version, she is full of simpleness. So wait a minute. She's full of simpleness, and she's calling out to the simple. So this is an excellent example of the blind leading the blind. So she doesn't have anything to offer the simple because she is simple herself. She doesn't get it, and she's inviting those who don't get it. So what can she offer them? It says she knows nothing. In verse 14, it says she sits at the door of her house. She doesn't send out her maidens. She's not making a lot of effort. It's like she's sitting on a stool at the door of her house, not doing anything, but just calling out, and she's calling out to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. So these people are going straight, and she's trying to divert them from their path. To the ones who lack heart, in verse 16, she calls out. Now, notice that at the beginning, she acts like, in her invitation, she mimics wisdom. She says in verse 16, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. So at first, these Facebook or Instagram invitations, they look like the same thing. They're both saying, let him who is simple turn in here. Both of the women are saying the same thing to you. The first woman, though, offers you a sumptuous meal, and the second woman appeals to your interest in that which is secret, in that which is forbidden, in that which is hidden. She says in verse 17, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And so what she's doing here is she's appealing to kind of a perverted interest in that which is forbidden, the dark things, the hidden things, the prohibited things. And she's trying to make that part of her appeal. And if this sounds to you or looks to you like a scene from a sleazy part of a city where women are calling out to men who are going by, you're getting the right idea. That's intentionally what's being painted here, that kind of a sleazy sort of scene from this woman who is calling out. Now, we haven't met her personally yet. This is the first time we have met her personally, woman Folly, but we have met her chief representative already in Proverbs, and she's called, appropriately enough, the forbidden woman. If you go back to chapter 5, it says in verse 3, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol, which is the grave. And we also met the adulterous woman as well, the prostitute, in chapter 7. And behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute. She's loud. She's wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. She's in the street, now in the market. Every corner she lies in wait. And so you get the picture here of what this woman Folly is like. Now, notice this woman finally where she is as well. If you look at verse 14, she sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat where? On the highest places of the town. She's in the same place. So these two invitations are coming from the highest place on the town. And so what's she represent here? Well, if Lady Wisdom represents the voice of God, she's representing the voices of the false gods. She's representing the voices of the idols. And so the two invitations that are going out are invitations from gods, the true God, and the idols, the false gods. Now, when we look at Proverbs, oh, by the way, the Lady Wisdom offered life. Look at verse 18. It says, but he does not know, that is the simple one who goes in to dine with Lady or Woman Folly, he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So this is sort of like a horror movie where you have the femme fatale that is getting men to come into her lair, and then she poisons them or something and buries them in the basement. That's kind of the idea here. So that's what this woman Folly is like. Now, when we look at this, we take a step back and we hear these two invitations. The invitation here is, with whom will you dine? Whose invitation are you going to accept? And you can't accept both at the same time. You have to accept one or the other. These things are going out together, and you need to accept one or the other. Now, this is important to understand, and I said this is an introduction to the whole book of Proverbs, because what we're going to see in the rest of the book of Proverbs are this or that. Proverbs are full of little statements that give you two options. And whenever you hear these two options, you're hearing the call of Lady Wisdom and you're hearing the call of Woman Folly. In other words, you're hearing the call of God and you're hearing the call of idols. Look at chapter 10, where it starts with the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. And we see this throughout the rest of the Proverbs. And so now we have the kind of the theological underpinning of Proverbs so that we can recognize voices when we hear them. Throughout the rest of Proverbs, when we have this or that, and here are the various invitations. With whom will you dine? Or with whom will you form a close relationship? Now let's take a step back and talk about wisdom in the Proverbs. We've heard the invitation of wisdom. We've heard the invitation of folly. And we will hear those two invitations all through the summer. What is wisdom? Chris began last week in talking a bit about wisdom. Wisdom is not mere intelligence. It's not really a question of IQ, but it is a question of living well before God and before others. And if you are not among the most intelligent, if you don't have one of those really high IQs, don't despair. You can be among the wisest. And on the other side, if you are among those with a high IQ, be careful, because you can still be very foolish in the way you live. Wisdom also, when we think about wisdom, it's not the same thing as law. When we think of the Old Testament, we likely think of, well, it has a lot of laws. And the laws tell us, do this, don't do that. They tell us what is right and wrong. And wisdom is related to that, but it's not the same thing as law. Because law doesn't cover every certain instance. Law gives us many, many principles and precepts and norms, but we'll go through life and we'll find many situations in which we can't find a specific law to apply. Now what do we do? Well, wisdom fills all those gaps. So wisdom is not the same thing as law, but it builds on law. It assumes the base of law, and it extends law into areas that law doesn't specifically cover. There are some actions that are both lawful and wise. For example, being faithful to your spouse. The seventh commandment says that. That's lawful. That's in accordance with the law. And Proverbs points out, it's also a really wise thing to do. And it will go much better for you if you are. And so it's not only lawful, but it's also wise. There are some things that are lawful, but not necessarily wise. There's no law that says you shouldn't borrow money. But when we read Proverbs, we find that it's very foolish to live on borrowed money. So you might not be breaking a law per se. It might not be wrong, but it's a really bad idea to live on borrowed money. Or, for example, there's no law that says thou shalt not talk too much. But there are many proverbs that say it's really not wise to talk too much. It's really foolish to talk over much. So there are some things that are lawful, but they're not wise. And there are some actions that are not lawful or wise. Getting drunk is not lawful. Paul says, don't get drunk with wine. It's also not wise. And we'll see that in the Proverbs. Gossiping, slandering, being immoral, stealing, these are unlawful things. But Proverbs takes them a step further and says, they're not only unlawful, but they're really bad ideas. They're really bad for you, and they're really bad for others. So we could say this, law focuses on rightness, whereas wisdom focuses on propriety. And both of them appeal to your own self-interest. Both of them appeal to what is best for you. It may be that law focuses more on what is most glorifying to God, and in Proverbs, we will find this constant appeal to your own self-interest. Do you want to live? Do you want to enjoy life? Do you want to have a good life? Then wisdom is calling out to you and saying, this is what I want for you. So wisdom nakedly appeals to your own self-interest in saying, what is appropriate? What is in keeping with prudence? That is the best for you and for your life. Law requires obedience. Law says do this, you need to do it. Law says don't do that, you need not to do it. Wisdom requires prudence. And we could say that this is not a better thing, but it is a higher thing to have prudence in addition to obedience. Think about raising children. There are different stages of raising children. When children are little, the command for children is, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. That's what the commands say. That's the law, obedience. But then we get into pre-adolescence and adolescence, and if they have learned the questions of obedience, they've learned to obey, which is when they're young, that's the time to teach them to obey. It's not time to teach them to obey when they're older. Teach them to obey when they're young. And if they've learned obedience when they're young, then they will start encountering questions. And of course, my girls experienced this as well, and they would come to me in pre-adolescence and adolescence, Dad, is this right or not? And what do they want? They wanted a law. But it was time now to start building wisdom, and so I'd say, what do you think? To get them to try to apply prudence to the situation. So what are the stages of child rearing? There's the stage of obedience. Obey me. Why? Because I said so. This is what's right. Don't do that. Why not? Because I said you shouldn't, and you need to obey me. That's sufficient during those first stages. But then as the child begins to ask, why this? Why that? Then it's the stage of wisdom, and that's where Proverbs comes in. So it's building on that base of obedience, a superstructure over obedience, wisdom. And what's the final stage of child rearing? It's independence. And if they haven't learned obedience, and if they haven't learned wisdom, then independence could be a disaster. But if they've learned obedience as little children, prudence and wisdom as adolescents, then independence is going to be great. They'll experience life and good life. Now, another thing that we need to look at here, when we look at Proverbs, we might wonder, the Proverbs, they often just sound like kind of secular advice or, you know, sayings from your grandmother, that sort of thing. But they're really theologically infused here because they are the call of God and the call of the false idols. And if we go through the rest of the Bible, what we find is this call of wisdom kind of takes on a new tone, a new form as we get into the New Testament. And what we find is this: the call of wisdom in Proverbs morphs into or develops into the call of Jesus in the New Testament. And we find a number of hints about this. We find that Jesus said that a greater than Solomon was there. And to whom was he referring? Referring to himself. So in chapter 10, we have the Proverbs of Solomon. Whoa, Solomon, the wisest man. And then we find out that the greater than Solomon was there, someone with greater wisdom. We also, as Chris pointed out last week, we learn that Jesus became for us the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says that Jesus became for us, he became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So Jesus is the manifestation of the wisdom of God. And as Chris pointed out last week, that all the wisdom of God dwells bodily in Jesus. And interestingly, when you get to the New Testament, you find Jesus extending invitations to do what? To dine, to eat. In Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. And here he's asking to come into our home and to dine with us. But it's an intimate relationship. But even stronger than that, not only do we dine with Jesus, but we dine on Jesus. He gives us himself so that we might consume him, so that we might take him into ourselves. And Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And he also promised that if we accept that invitation, if we dine with him, if we dine on him, if we trust in him, then our lives will be solid. He ended the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 by saying, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Here's the call of Lady Wisdom in the call of Jesus. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so still, woman folly is calling out in competition with Lady Wisdom, who speaks through Jesus and the wisdom of God. And so here we have the two calls. They still go out to us, but now they're personified, they're personalized. It's the call of Jesus to trust in him and to follow him. Now, Chris said something really important last week about the Proverbs. Because they're not laws with ironclad results, they point out how life should work and how life often works, but there are exceptions. So there are these indications in Proverbs that if you follow wisdom, that in general your life will be better, but that doesn't mean you won't have any hardships. And there are exceptions. And one of the things that Chris pointed out last week was this: in general, those who follow wisdom have longer lives. And that makes sense. If you follow the way of folly, many things that folly does and offers, they're dangerous and they're illegal, and some bad things could happen to you. Your life could be cut short if you follow the way of folly, and there are many, many examples of that in life. And in general, if you follow the way of wisdom, your life will be longer and more pleasant. But as he pointed out, there are exceptions, and when there are exceptions, God is doing something extraordinary. And if we think of Jesus, we find the biggest exception to that. Jesus, the wisest man ever, his life was cut short. And it was cut short with unjust violence. Why was that? Why did that happen? Well, because what Jesus was doing, Jesus, the wise man, was taking the place of the fool. He was standing in the place of the fool, and he was receiving what the fool deserves with his own life, which is a short life with a violent end. And Jesus, the only truly wise man, standing in the place of the fool, why? And receiving what the fool deserves, why? So that we, who have folly bound up in our hearts, might receive what the wise man deserves. So that we might receive life, abundant life, long life, eternal life. Jesus took our place so that we might receive his place. He became for us that who took the place of the fool so that he could make the foolish wise through faith in him and through building our lives on his words. So here are the two calls today. These calls will be with you every moment of your life. The call of Jesus and the call of idols. The call to life, the call to death. And as we go through this book, we'll be hearing those two calls. And the question wasn't just for the adolescents in the days of Solomon or the adolescents today. The question is for all of us. With whom will you dine? Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for the book of Proverbs. It teaches us what is wise, but it also exposes folly in our hearts. And we look back, I know I do, on so many foolish things that I've said or done or thought. And I thank you that there is one who is completely wise, who is in himself the wisdom of God. And I thank you that he took the place of the fool and experienced what the fool deserves, so that we who have been foolish in our lives might receive what the wise man has earned with his life, and so that we might learn to walk in wisdom. Lord, I pray for all of us. I pray for our young people. I pray for our older people. I pray for our children, that we would all hear the call of Jesus, that we would hear, that we would believe, and that we would build our lives on Jesus' words, that our lives might be founded on that rock. And we pray in his name. Amen.